to Matthew in chapter number 4 tonight. Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4, and we'll begin reading in verse number 18. Matthew 4 and verse number 18. Hold on 1 second, here we go. The Bible says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. And Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness, and all manner of disease among the people." And then let's look over, if you'll go into the book of Mark with me, we'll look at chapter number 1. It's another account of the same exact situation. Another account just of the same situation going on. Mark chapter number 1, and we'll begin reading in verse number 16. Mark 1, verse number 16. The Bible says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servant, and went after him." And let's go ahead and pray tonight. Thank you, Father, for another opportunity to come into your house tonight, Lord. Another opportunity to open up your word and hear from your word tonight. I pray that you'll just anoint me from on high as only you can, Lord, so that I may speak exactly what you would have for the congregation tonight, Lord. And I pray that you'll also just open the hearts of the congregation tonight, Lord. Just help the ones that need it the most tonight, Lord. And just help each and every person to walk away tonight saying that it's good to be in the house of God tonight, Lord. For everything that you do for us, we give you the honor, praise, and glory. And in Jesus' name, amen. So we read these two accounts of the same exact situation going on. We see where Jesus is walking by and he is calling for men to follow him. He is calling for men to follow after him. And we see in Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 19, and in Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 17, we see in both of those verses the phrase, "I will." I will is a promise. I will is a promise that any one of us in this church can make to another person. But however, if I were to tell you that I will do something, I may fail on my side of it. If you were to tell me that you're going to do something or that you will do something, you may fail on your side of it. But however, this promise, this I will promise, is a divine I will. It is from Jesus himself. Jesus cannot be made a liar. Jesus cannot do wrong. Jesus cannot, forsake fulfilling this promise. And if I can have you turn over into the book of Luke tonight as well, we'll look at this one more place. We'll look at this same situation in one other place. Luke chapter number 5 tonight. Luke chapter number 5. And we'll begin reading verse number 10 and read 10 and 11. Luke 5 verses 10 and 11. The Bible says, "And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon, and Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." We see in this phrase, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." We see it recorded as "thou shalt" right here. And this is another divine promise that we're seeing. Thou shalt. If thou shalt, it's going to happen. And it's coming from Jesus. It's going to happen. And this brings us to a thought. What is it like to be Christ-like? What does that look like? What does being Christ-like look like? Christians who are truly Christ-like will be fishers of men. He calls people out of this world to be fishers of men. He don't call people out of this world to be bench warmers. He don't call people out of this world to do nothing. He calls people out of this world to be fishers of men. And he may say, well, brother, we come to church, we do our part. We come to church faithfully, we give tithes, we give offerings. Well, that's wonderful, but what do you do besides that? Are you truly fishing for men? Are you truly being Christ-like? If you're not following Christ, you're not being Christ-like. And to follow Christ is to fish for men. And we want to think about this as well. When Christ was on this earth, bodily form, when he was on this earth, he did not wait for people to show up to him. We see countless number. We see all through the Bible of his life when he's here. We see many situations where he went to the person that needed him the most. He didn't wait for him to show up. How do we appropriate that to us today? Yes, we're in this wonderful church building. We're in this beautiful house of God here. Absolutely gorgeous building. But we can't get complacent sitting here on the pews being comfortable. We're in AC right now. We can't be complacent in the winter being in our nice, warm church, being complacent, just being bench warmer Christians. What it's going to take is us going out the doors. And as soon as you leave the doors of, leave out the doors of the church, you're entering the mission field. As soon as you step out of this house of God, you're entering the mission field. The Lord calls each and every one of us to be missionary. He don't call us to just sit by idly and say, well, I think someone might come through the doors this week. I'll pray that someone comes in the house of God this week. No, no, no. He calls us to go out and to proclaim the gospel. He calls us to go out and find the ones that need it the most. And the ones that need it the most, by the way, are the ones that are not saved. Anyone that's not saved needs it the most. And what does this mean? This means that we're going to go and find them at their home. And you may say, well, brother, COVID's still around. COVID is going to hinder us doing that. I'm saying still go to their home if the Lord leads you to go to their home. Go and knock on that door. If you're afraid of offending them, when you knock on the door, step back a few steps and say, hey, I'll talk to you from a distance, but do you know the Lord is your Savior? Are you saved? If you were to die today, where would you go? Just go ahead and just do that. And then not only that, that means that we're also going to come to them at work. I'm not saying go and rob your employer of their time. When you're on the clock, they're paying you to do a specific job. Be a good employee doing that job, because that is your testimony in your job site. If you are lousy at doing your job and you're lazy at doing your job, you're not going to have a good testimony with your coworkers. So be good at doing your job. However, when that 30 minutes comes, when that hour comes that you have a lunch break or any break you have throughout the day, you may go and get a little snack or get lunch. You may decide to sit down and turn on the TV if your work has one, and flip through the channels and find something good to watch. And you may say, well, brother, that's my only time to myself throughout the day at work. That's my only time to myself when I'm at work. That's my time that I just collect my thoughts before I go back to work. That's my time of relaxation. Well, when there's someone that is sitting close by you, when there's someone that is in that break room with you, that don't know Christ as their Savior, that's your time to witness. That's your time to proclaim the gospel. That's not your time to be lazy and watch TV. That's your time to say, hey, do you know what the Lord did for you? Hey, can I invite you to church? That's your time to proclaim gospel, or the gospel to those people. And when we get to the end of life's journey, when we're answering for everything we've done, do you think the excuse, oh, that was my only time to myself, that was my only time of relaxation at work, do you think that excuse is going to stand up when those souls are lost, when those souls are on their way to hell? Do you think that's going to stand up? It's not. It's going to be a pretty lousy excuse. And that also means that we are going to have to go to people when we're at the grocery store or wherever the marketplace is, or even at restaurants. When you're at the grocery store, wherever you're shopping, when they're ringing you up, you have a captive audience for at least the time that it takes to ring up your goods there. When you're at a restaurant, I'm not saying to to take an abundance of this person's time, but I am saying just to share a little bit about the gospel. Just drop little seeds. Share a little bit about the gospel. When you're at a restaurant, when the waiter or waitress comes to you, you have a captive audience for a short period of time when they are taking your order. When they come back and check on the table, you have a captive audience for a short period of time. Use those times for the Lord. Use those times to say, hey, do you know what the Lord did for you? Hey, Jesus loves you. Or even just simple, something simple and say, hey, you want to know what the Lord did for me today? You want to know what the Lord's did in my life? Just sharing something simple can be the seed that it takes to win a soul to Christ and eternally save a soul. Whatever you can think of that sinners may be doing, wherever you may go, I would say witness to them. But there's only one thing that I would say be very careful of. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. The way we appropriate that to going and witnessing means we're not going to, I believe that means we're not going to go and necessarily stop off at the bar down the road, stop off in their parking lot and go into the bar and start witnessing to people. Yes, you may be able to plant some seeds there. Yes, you may actually be able to see a soul saved. But however, in the process, this is a small community. Everyone in the community might know what you drive. Or someone is going to know what you drive, and they're going to drive by. And they're going to look and say, you know, look at that hypocrite. Look at what they're doing. And you have lost your testimony. You have lost a lifetime of testimony by one action. Don't lose your testimony. Your testimony is the most valuable thing that you have when you're going and witnessing to the lost. And then you may ask, well, why should we be fishers of men? Why should we be fishers of men? Matthew chapter number 13 sums that up very well. Matthew chapter number 13 and verses 47 through 50. Matthew 13 verses 47 through 50. The Bible says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I believe today that we have gotten too comfortable. I believe that the Christians have gotten too comfortable today. We've gotten comfortable in just being able to come into a nice, comfortable church, and we don't want to see what lies at the end of life. And simply put, what lies at the end of life, there's only two answers to it. There's only two answers you can give, and it's saved or lost. What is the answer that you have? Is it saved or is it lost? And if you can answer saved, can your family answer saved? If your family can answer saved, can your friends answer saved? If there's someone in your life that can answer saved, the only other answer is lost. And they're on their way. They're on their way to hell. They're on their way to that furnace that this talks about, where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's our friends. That's our family. That's our co-workers. If you love or even care for any of them, you wouldn't want this. And even if they're your enemy, even if you would say, I don't like that person, they harmed me sometime way back when. They did something against me way back when. I don't like them. Would you wish that on anyone? I wouldn't wish that on the worst of people out there. That place is not meant for man, period. That place was never meant for man. But corruption led man there. We need to make sure we're doing our part to see as many souls saved as we can possibly see saved. Because at the end of life's journey, it's not going to matter what degree you got. It's not going to matter how much money or wealth you were able to amass to yourself. It's not going to matter what kind of house you lived in. It's not going to matter what church affiliation you had. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is saved or lost. And each of you in here tonight, I want you to ask personally, your own self, if you had to answer that question tonight, which would it be, saved or lost? And do you have lost family members? If you have lost family members, it's time to reach them. It's time to do everything within your power to reach them. It's time to pray for them. And you may say, well, brother, I've been praying for my lost family member, my lost sibling, my lost mother, father, my lost grandparents, my lost kid, my lost nieces and nephews. I've been praying for them for years. I've been praying for them for 10, 20 years. I've been praying for 30 years. Nothing's ever changed. I give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. I've heard many accounts of people, of children being saved, of parents praying for their children for 30, 40 years, and they're living a wicked, wicked life. You would never have thought something would have come from that life. You would have never thought that they would have turned around. I've heard a number of cases where after that praying, eventually something broke through. Eventually something pricked their heart. Eventually something got a hold of them. Then they got gloriously saved. And they got saved out of that life of sin. And then some of them have turned in, or at least one in particular, won't name any names, but one in particular has turned into one of the greatest preachers I know of. You never know what changes may occur. And you never know what ripple effect of your prayers, your witnessing, what ripple effect it may have. You may witness to a person and they may get saved. And you may think, well, I'm never going to be known. And the thing is, it's not about being known. It's not about making a name for yourself. But if you were to look back, someone had to witness to someone who had to witness to someone who had to witness to someone else. And it had to come on down the line before you got any of the Spurgeons, before you got any of the Moody's, before you got any of the Ironsides. Someone had to witness to somebody. And I believe at the end of that ripple effect, way back when that someone witnessed to that next person that went down the line, I believe every single soul that was saved as a result of that one soul that they led to the Lord, I believe every single soul beyond that is going to be fruit that is abounding to their account. You never know the ripple effect of fishing for men, what's going to happen. And you may say, well, I give to missions. I'm doing my part in fishing for men. I'm giving to missions. Hey, giving to missions is wonderful. That's a great thing to do. But however, I want to bring your attention to a very well-known verse. Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Yes, you may be given to missions. You may be covering the uttermost parts of the earth with your missions giving. You may be covering your Samaria, which I would say is this country, with your missions giving. You may be covering those places, but are you covering your Jerusalem? That's right around this church, right in your community. Are you covering your Judea? I would say that's right here in this state. Are you covering those places? You need to be covering those places as well. You are a missionary. If you are saved, you are called as well to be a missionary. You may say, well, brother, I'm not a missionary. I'm not with the missions board. I'm not a missionary. I'm not going off somewhere. That don't matter. What matters is you're saved and you're supposed to be getting out what happened to you. You're supposed to be getting that out to the lost and dying in your community. Anywhere in this world, you're supposed to be getting that out. And I want to just hit on this one thought. Because many people think that when you take a vacation, you can take a vacation from everything. No, no, no. You can take a vacation from your work. You can take a vacation from your normal day-to-day life in your normal community. But however, when you go on vacation, maybe you're going down to the coast. Maybe you're going up in the mountains a little further, up to maybe Tennessee, the mountains up there. Maybe you're going somewhere up north or down to Florida somewhere. You can't take a vacation from what God has called you to do. God has called us to be witnesses wherever we're at. That means when you're going on these places or to all these places, you may be the one person that comes in contact with someone that may be able to say the exact thing. The Lord may lay the exact thing on your heart to say that that one person needs. Maybe there's a praying mother at home praying for the soul of their son, their daughter. And maybe you're coming by. Maybe it's just nothing more than you're stopping off to get gas and it's the next person over from you at the gas station. You share a little word. And maybe that little word is the only word that's going to get through that person their whole life. Think about that. You might have the only word that's going to open up the eyes. The Lord may be specifically sending you that way. Maybe specifically allowing something to happen that would make you stop off in your travel maybe a little bit sooner than you thought. Maybe there's a soul there that you specifically are supposed to witness to. Look for those opportunities. Look for those opportunities just to share Christ. And you may say, well, brother, I've never done that before. I'm not sure. Just trust God. Just step out on faith and trust God. He will be with you. And you would be surprised what verses the Lord will recall to memory. You'll be surprised what the Lord can do through you to speak to that person. You'll be surprised. Be willing to be used of Christ in witnessing and fishing for men. We are called to be witnesses for Christ no matter where we are. And we are always to go in the attitude of fishing for men. And then Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 21. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 21 says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not a big, long cycle of things you have to do. Man has put so many stipulations on salvation. Man has bogged down salvation so much, made it so complicated that people don't want to have anything to do with it. We just need to make sure we're going out preaching the gospel. We don't need to go out preaching traditions. We don't need to go out preaching something that's not here in the gospel. We need to go out simply sharing gospel. If it's in the Bible and you know how to rightly appropriate it, then do so. But also, don't take the Bible out of context. It can be easily done. And if you do so, you may lead someone astray. Be careful. And that also goes to why we need to stay prayed up and to stay studied up for those specific opportunities when the Lord leads us to someone to witness. And in closing thoughts tonight, I know that this was a rather simple message tonight, but in closing thoughts, I want you to ask yourself tonight, saved or lost, which applies to you? And I want you to think about your family, your friends, your coworkers. Saved or lost, we can't truly judge, but however, we can look at the fruits of their life. What does it look like? What does the situation in their life look like? Are we acting accordingly? Are we witnessing to the ones that we would look at and say, I'm pretty sure they're lost? Are we being the witness that we ought to be to them? Or are we just letting them pass us by? And will their blood be on our hands one day? Have you fished for men as often as you should? Have you fished for men as often as the Lord has led you to do? Whenever the Lord has given you opportunities? I would say that we each in this church tonight, each and every one of us could probably do a little bit better in that location. There's always room for improvement when it comes to witnessing. Have you accepted salvation in your own life? Or is there someone that the Lord has laid on your heart that does not have salvation? You need to be willing to pray for that person. And then not only just be willing to pray for that person, But be willing to be the answer to the prayer. You may say, well, I've prayed for years that someone would go by and witness to so-and-so. You have the gospel. Have you gone by and witnessed to so-and-so? We need to get busy. Our time is drawing shorter and shorter. If you were to study through prophecy, if you were to study through and look at it all, things are lining up more than they ever have in history. Things are getting right in order. And if I were to look through and I had to gauge it, I would say that we're right at the sounding of the trumpet right now. If I were to look through and read prophecy and I were to just say, I would say we're right at it. But no man knows the day or the hour. Are you ready? Is your family ready? Are your friends ready? Be willing to step up and do your part. Yes, I know that my wife and I are missionaries going to Northwest Montana. But your missionary is right here. Be the missionaries that the Lord has called you to be. Thank you, Pastor, for your time. Thank you.